Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. United States and Russia announced a plan to halt 5 years of war in Syria and for the two countries to cooperate on the fight against terror groups inside Syria. After a marathon negotiation with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov in Geneva, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said a nationwide ceasefire would begin Monday at sundown.
And so this is a new equation, and we believe that this new equation offers an opportunity, again, not a certainty, an opportunity for people to be able to find a peaceful solution, because we don't believe there is a military solution.
Mr. Lavrov said he informed the Syrian government about the arrangement, and Bashar al-Assad's government is ready to abide by them. UN Security Council has strongly condemned North Korea's most recent nuclear test and says it will start discussing new, significant measures against Pyongyang. In Washington, President Obama condemned the nuclear test, calling it a grave threat to regional security and to international peace and stability. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power, said the test was nothing short of nuclear blackmail.
This is more than brazen defiance. North Korea is seeking to perfect its nuclear weapons and their delivery vehicles so they can hold the region and the world hostage under threat of nuclear strike.
China responded to news of the test by saying it firmly opposed such actions by North Korea. Meanwhile, Beijing said China has started emergency measures to monitor radiation rates and environmental pollution. This is VOA News. The lengthy process to select a new UN chief has taken another step forward, with former Portuguese Prime Minister Antonio Guterres reconfirming his status as front-runner, leading a group of 10 candidates. In 2006, the current UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon was selected from a field of 7 candidates. The new UN chief will take over for Mr. Ban on January the 1st. In U.S. presidential politics, Democratic Party candidate Hillary Clinton says it's time for rethinking of America's strategy for North Korea following the regime's latest test of a nuclear weapon.
We are not going to let anyone who is a treaty ally and partner of ours be threatened, and we are not going to let North Korea pursue a nuclear weapon with the ballistic missile capacity to deliver it to the United States territory.
Speaking after meeting with a bipartisan group of national security experts in New York, former Secretary of State said she would seek to impose tougher sanctions on North Korea. And in a speech to a group of conservative activists, the Republican Party candidate Donald Trump used the North Korean development to criticize his opponent.
North Korea performed its 5th nuclear test, its 4th since Hillary Clinton became Secretary of State. It's just one more massive failure from a failed Secretary of State.
The nuclear test in North Korea came at the end of a week in which Trump and Clinton clashed repeatedly over national security issues. A new book by Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI has been released in Italy and around the world, and according to the book, Benedict acknowledged that governing the church was not his strong suit. Jopwish Maiwe is the Vatican correspondent for the publication, National Catholic Reporter.
This book gives us for the first time an opportunity to see a pope evaluating his own papacy after it's over. For centuries in the Catholic Church, popes have died, and they haven't had a chance to review their own failings, their own successes. And we get a window into how this retired pope, Benedict, who now lives in isolation in the Vatican, understands his own 8 years as pope, and what he thinks of his successor, Pope Francis, and what Pope Francis is doing for the world.
Benedict says he was shocked and initially uncertain about the election of Pope Francis as his successor, but he said he immediately realized the significance of electing a Latin American pope and has been very happy with Francis's papacy. Well, Friday, a tough day for U.S. stocks, trading at the lowest level since June 27th, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average down nearly 400 points. Get more news at our website. You can find us at voanews.com and always on the VOA mobile app.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Well, hello again, jazz lover. Russ Davis here, and it's time for another edition of Jazz America to begin here on VOA 1. And on this edition of the program, I have a very special theme, and that is to take a look at the newest incarnation of a style that's been around for a long time, big band. All the phases of jazz history and over 100+ years of this incredible music as it's evolved with many different stages. One of the most popular stages was the big band era, when big bands, oftentimes with singers out front, had the jazz lovers dancing on the dance floor while the jazz band made their music. It became the world's most popular music at the time. Well, big band jazz has morphed into new forms, and I've got four of the modern practitioners of big band jazz to share with you their thoughts and their newest incarnation of big band jazz. I think you'll really enjoy it, and we'll also throw in some classic big band as well, just for a little A-B comparison, if you will. But let's begin on, if you don't mind, a personal note. The 10th of September is my 65th birthday, so I hope you don't mind if I'm a little self-indulgent in celebrating that fact and sharing with you some music from an artist who also has his birthday on the 10th of September. He's the master of the vibes, Roy Ayers. So help us celebrate our birthday together as I say happy birthday to myself and to Roy Ayers with a title cut from one of his great releases from back in the 1970s, his homage to Africa, Destination Motherland, to begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America. Thank you.
when my work is through. Every night when my work is through, I put my foot in my gas tank. I'm steady coming home to you. In every way, you're so good to me. Every way, yes, you're so good to me. Because you're mine, well, I'm happy as a man can be. Yes, I'm happy. Girl, I'm so happy with you. Oh, yes, I'm happy. Ooh, I'm happy with you. You make me feel so good, sometimes I don't know what to do. Cause my table's set. Now what can I get just to please my pet? Because every night when my work is through, I put my foot in my gas tank. I'm steady coming home to you. Every night when my work is through, every night, baby, when my work is through, I put my foot in my gas tank. I'm steady coming home to you. I stick my 12s in the gas tank. I'm steady coming home to you. Will my foot.
The great singer of blues and ballads, he's been called. Joe Williams, and the song Every Night, recorded live at Webster Hall in New York City, just a few blocks from where I live, as a matter of fact. That was from 1963 in the album The Overwhelming Joe Williams. It was Joe with Jimmy Jones and his orchestra, so yes, a little big band, large ensemble, if you will, with some of the most famous players of the day working with him, like Clark Terry on trumpet, Herbie Green on trombone, Phil Woods on saxophone, Hank Jones on the piano, Milt Hinton on bass. Wow, hope you enjoyed that. Well, our investigation of big band in the 21st century continues right now with some thoughts from one of the major practitioners in the style. He's a member of the band known as the Yellow Jackets, a small ensemble, but he does lots of different things, including leading his own big band, as he does on his latest release. His name is Bob Menser, and he joins us right now here on VOA's Jazz America.
On the fly here at the International Association for Jazz Education, we're running into Bob Menser, and it's great to see you, man, and thanks for taking a few minutes.
Thanks, Russ.
You've become one of the most famous arrangers for big bands. I mean, you've done so many incredible big band productions, so many different projects, from Latin stuff to, you know, the straightest of straight ahead and your own songs, big band versions. How did you originally get into that? I've never asked you that before.
Well, I grew up in New York City, and when I started playing professionally, the jobs that were available to saxophonists were primarily big bands. I played with Tito Puente in a big band setting, and then Buddy Rich and the Thad Jones Mel Lewis big band, and Louis Bellison, and played in a big band with Sam Jones and Tom Harrell. So, you know, that was my training ground. And as musicians, we are definitely a product of our environment. So, you know, I heard this music and was sitting in it, and eventually started to write in that format for big band.
And First Cut is the deepest, I guess, to a certain extent. It never left you, or it made such an indelible impression that you just loved it from the beginning?
Yeah, you know, I always wanted to be in a quartet saxophone player. Any saxophone player's goal, just because of the optimal amount of playing one does. You know, whereas if you're a saxophonist in a big band, you might get a couple of short solos in a night, or depending upon which band it is, of course. But I had an opportunity to put a big band together at a club called 7th Avenue South in New York City back in the early 80s.
The Brecker Brothers band, right.
And, I called like all the hot shots in New York, Dave Sanborn and Mike and Randy, Peter Erskine, Don Gronick, Will Lee. And with names like that on the marquee, a lot of people come, and it generated this terrific momentum. I had no idea what happened, and just kind of rode the wave, you know, started writing and recording, met Tom Jung from DMP and spent 20 years recording CDs for his high-end audiophile label. And,
sure.
You know, one thing led to another, and still at it, going
strong. It's amazing.
Bob Minzer of the Yellow Jackets doing the song Run for Your Life that he recorded originally with the quartet, the Yellow Jackets, turning it into a big band presentation for the 21st century on his newest album, All L.A. Band. Yes, with all artists from Los Angeles. And speaking of the West Coast, here's a classic, Wes Montgomery, with the song entitled West Coast Blues from his album The Incredible Jazz Guitar of Wes Montgomery on Jazz America from VOA 1. A very healthy taste of music with a West Coast flavor, two songs back-to-back from Bob Mincer and Wes Montgomery. Well, jazz is an international art form, and we're just about to give you music made by a Frenchman and an Englishman requested by a gentleman from Africa. But first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address. jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's the message I've received, and it reads as follows. Hi, Russ. I am Clement Tenay from Accra, Ghana. I would like you to play me a jazz version of Celine Dion's Immortal. Well, Clement, I looked high and low for a jazz version of that song from the pop artist Celine Dion, but was not able to find that for you. There are many jazz versions of songs from the pop and rock world, and since I couldn't find that one for you, I hope you'll enjoy this new presentation of a rock classic by the English band Yes, sung by their singer, John Anderson, in collaboration with the great French-born violinist Jean-Luc Ponty. It's from their collaborative effort, Better Late Than Never, and I hope you'll enjoy this. Clement Tenay from Accra, Ghana, here on VOA's Jazz America.
Call the morning dragon to the sun.
Great trombonist Steve Touré from his new release, Colors for the Masters, with Joko Blue. Hope you enjoyed that little swinging piece of music from a gentleman who, like me, is a Virgo. My birthday, September 10th, and Steve Touré's birthday, the 12th of September. Hope you'll join me in wishing him a very happy birthday. This is Russ Davis, and we're investigating modern interpretations of a style that's been around in jazz for decades, the big band style, in this case, for the 21st century. And in this case, the music of Mike Manieri, the leader of the band Steps Ahead. He joins us now to talk about working in the small group setting as well as the big band setting, as he did when he was invited to work with the Swiss Jazz Orchestra live at the festival Bern in Europe. Here's some of that brand new release after we talk to Mike Minieri here on VOA's Jazz America.
So as far as your professional career began, it began when you were just in your early teens and you started playing with some pretty heavy folks, and not long thereafter, from what I have here, you started playing with Buddy Rich. Was he as crazy a guy as we always thought he was?
You know, it's... Everyone asked me that question because of the bus tapes.
Yeah, exactly.
The famous bus tapes. And then I think I even saw someone that took the time to make a comic book.
Of the scene envisioned happening.
Yes.
Just to catch up with everybody on this, there is a recording of Buddy Rich screaming at his band members, telling them they were not professional, they couldn't play, that he was going to throw them off the bus, all this kind of stuff.
And just cursing
and really rude.
I've heard.
But he wasn't really that guy?
Not in the bands that I were in. As Phil Woods very succinctly said in an interview, if you played your ass off, you didn't have a problem with Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And he, when I joined the band, Phil was just leaving, as a matter of fact.
But you, Mike, though, playing the vibes, I know it's been a part of the big band setup for a long time, in big orchestras and classical music, etc., an instrument that has been used in many different settings. But you started to move from the big band educational experience you had into the smaller groups. And was that difficult to do, or did it just seem so absolutely natural? Because to me, I think the vibes is meant to be in a small group situation.
That's true. I mean, I had been playing in small groups from when I was 13 or 14. I had played with a big band in high school. I was the leader of the big band, but I was also the leader of the ensemble, the small combo. And I preferred that, of course, because there's much more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So making that transition with Buddy's band, it was fairly easy for me because I had played with both combinations. When I joined the band, he pretty much said to me, okay, you hire the musicians and write all the arrangements. I mean, I was just a kid, and I knew that he was coming from that big band head, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the tunes that I chose, I arranged them like they were big band tunes, featured Buddy, and you can hear a lot of the small group stuff that Buddy during that period when he had the small combo, and even later on when he had his own nightclub on the East Side. But I arranged the music as if it was a big band, even though it was like a sextet or a septet.
Gotcha. So mixing the two all along.
And speaking of mixing the two, here's the song Bullet Train, originally recorded with a small group. Here's Mike Minieri joining with Switzerland's Swiss Jazz Orchestra for this live presentation from the new album Pools, live at the Jazz Festival Bern on Jazz America from VOA 1. classic big band from 1937, Count Basie's 1 O'Clock Jump, preceded by 21st Century Big Band from Mike Mignieri. More to come next hour. Stay tuned.